Those are voices from the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. 40 years ago, Bobby Seale and Huey Newton started an organization to fight police brutality in Oakland. They transformed the debate on race, power, and black nationalism. The Panthers spread their ideas through the party newspaper they called the Black Panther Intercommunal News Service. It was equal parts community journalism and propaganda. It was also the party's main revenue source. Reprints of the original papers are collected in a new book. David Hilliard edited the collection. He's a founding member of the party and was once its chief of staff. David, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
So you're one of the Panther Party's founding members. You helped create the newspaper. From your perspective, what was it designed to do?
Well, it was response to the establishment media that was very biased, owned by a right-wing conservative, the Tribune, that is, the Oakland Tribune, Nolan. And our newspaper gave us a voice and a medium to tell our own stories, to counteract the kind of negative and sensationalist publicity that we were getting in the New York Times and all of the major other media. It's how we told our own story.
What's an article or, you know, perhaps a series or topic that you were most proud of covering?
Well, I think the beginning of our newspaper is a 2-page mimeograph leaflet about a young man being killed in Richmond, California, Denzel Dowell. I'm very proud of that paper. It's really sort of what gave voice to our organization. And out of that during that same period, we did another beginning newspaper publication on our demonstrations at the state capitol in Sacramento. So I would think that those two are the most impressionable, you know, of all of the papers that has been published. And there were some 12,000 pages, some 500 issues. But those two stand out most prominently in my mind.
Now, every party member had to sell papers. That included you, Bobby Seale, and Huey Newton, who was your boyhood friend. And you two actually sold papers together on the streets in the Bay Area. What was it like walking around with Huey Newton, trying to convince people who may never have heard of the Panthers, as well as people who were supporters, why don't you buy this newspaper?
Well, it was somewhat of a challenge. That was in the infant stages of our Black Panther Party, very early stages of development. But we didn't take much to sell those papers even then. People, especially African Americans, wanted that newspaper because, again, it gave a different counterpoint to the establishment media that was so biased and racist, as a matter of fact. So it didn't take a lot of convincing, and the paper was visually demanding with our cartoons by our artist Emery Douglas. So it was something that almost from its inception, the community embraced, and eventually they were just eager to see the next edition.
Do you think that you ever fell into hero worship, particularly with Huey? He's featured in all these photos as an icon. He was not just Minister of Defense, but sometimes listed as Supreme Commander of the Black Panther Party. Was there an element to which the newspaper furthered a personality-based approach to really trying to sell your message?
I think not. The fact of the matter is, Huey Newton was our Jesus. He was our saint. He was the leader of the Black Panther Party, and nobody prior to Huey Newton, no man, had ever taken the position, the defiant role as Huey did, that is, standing between the police and the black community, laying his own life on the line. So he's deserving of that kind of respect. I certainly have no problem with that. I've yet to meet a man even now in the last 40 years that exemplified the kind of courage and the commitment to put their life on the line as Huey Newton did.
The party was controversial, remains controversial. A large part of that is bearing arms. Do you see now, you mean in your paper, you have all of these stories about your feeding programs, widely acclaimed feeding programs of kids. That element of armed rebellion that the Panthers also symbolized has not been a strong thread in Black life recently. Would there ever be a moment in time, you think, where carrying guns, where that kind of militant Black nationalism, armed struggle would be considered part of Black life again?
Well, one would hope that people, especially youth in our community, where there's many, many more guns than we had during that era of the life of our Black Panther Party, and guns that are turned inward, that are turned in a way that's genocidal and fratricidal against our own people. Our example, I think, was an example that one should look at by studying our newspapers. What is it that really made the Black Panther Party so controversial? Those guns were not guns turned, used in the community against the oppressed, our own people. They were guns to foil the racism and the brutal oppression of outlaw police in our communities. And I think that far too much has been given to the whole aspect about those guns. We were a self-defense organization, and that self-defense manifested itself in free breakfast for children programs, busing seniors, trying to reform an educational system that was failing. So there was other manifestations of our self-defense. But it's the media that played so readily on projecting us about these guns and militancy. We were much more than that.
David, thank you so much.
Thank you.
David Hilliard edited the book, The Black Panther Intercommunal News Service, 1967 to 1980. He's a founding member and one-time chief of staff of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, and he joined us from the studios at the University of California, Berkeley Journalism School.